Transitioning to Paleo Made Easy, episode 18.
Yes, paleo fans out there, let's get started. I am excited to introduce you our amazing guest for today, Lisa Cantier. Lisa Cantier is a lifelong celiac, nutrition coach, nutrition writer, and founder of GlutenFreeFine.com, an award-winning gluten-free online resource directory with every category of gluten-free living imaginable. The site is focused on healthy living, often referred to as the green pages of gluten-free. Their mission is to provide a gluten-free community with accessibility to healthy gluten-free choices. To our gluten-free and paleo fans out there, Miss Lisa Cantier, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
We are delighted to have you on the show, and I'm sure our listeners are as well. Now, Lisa, I really love your story and what you're putting out there to the gluten-free and the paleo community. As a result of that, our listeners really want to get to know you, and I want to provide that conduit, you know, that bridge between you and our listeners. So here are some cool questions that we can talk about. Feel free to comment anytime about them, but these are just general questions I have in mind. So let's start with you and your life prior to being on the gluten-free and the paleo diet. Can you tell us more about you personally and share us what was your life and personal situation prior to adopting this gluten-free paleo diet and lifestyle?
Yes, so that's a very interesting question because I was diagnosed with celiac disease at the age of 18 months old. Just prior to diagnosis, I was very sick and I was in one of the world's top hospitals for sick children in the world. And I was failing to thrive. I was malnourished. My hair was falling out and my parents took me to every specialist imaginable. And then this top hospital where the specialist there could not determine what was wrong with me. I was losing so much weight. I was literally a few weeks away from dying and I was given a misdiagnosis of cancer. So my parents were told that I had terminal cancer and just weeks left to live. So what happened was one day while in hospital, I was in the hospital for almost 2 months, and one day with my meal, there was a banana that came with my meal. And for whatever reason on that particular day, I ate what I like to call the life-saving banana. It was the only thing that I had eaten during my stay there, whereby I didn't fall ill after eating. So, you know, prior to eating that banana, every time I ate, I suffered from chronic diarrhea. And it was the first time that I did not experience that. And it was documented, and that's when the doctors realized there must be something food related.
Wow, what a story you have. I mean, at 18 months old, so you've been struggling with this early on. And luckily, I mean, it's really sad that you have to go through this and not knowing what it is. But, you know, there was a moment when you've knew that, okay, after eating the like what you said, a life-saving banana. I mean, I was imagining it. Wow, that must be a moment of realization. Right? Okay, I think this is food related, and it's really sad that that's the last thing, you know, in the medical community that we think of when we are trying to find out what it is that's causing all of these symptoms.
Yes, it's amazing because they tested me for everything under the sun. And right. Never thought about food at all.
Exactly. I mean, it's the last thing that I'm a nurse myself, and I've seen a lot of patients suffering from this. And I agree with you. It's one of the last thing that they get tested on is the food. This food allergies or like that. So nowadays, with the technology and also with the people's awareness of it, it's becoming more and more mainstream. So thank you for sharing that, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to it, or who have experienced the same way can relate to that. All right. Now, what was that, you know, defining moment that made you want to continue with the paleo diet and lifestyle? I know you had the celiac condition, but what was that defining moment? Was it that during that time when you were still young, or when was it?
Yeah, so as soon as they determined that I had celiac disease, I had the traditional biopsy done at that young age, and then I was put on a gluten-free diet. I've been gluten-free ever since. But I have to say that in those early years, in the late 70s and throughout the 80s, the knowledge of the gluten-free diet was different. So way back when I was, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old, things like wheat starch were permitted. So the diet itself has evolved over time, and also our understanding of issues of cross-contamination and hidden sources of gluten. So my adherence to a strict gluten-free diet really evolved and became, it improved a lot as I have gotten older and my awareness has grown. So I would say through awareness, knowledge, education, ongoing learning, it's become a much more strict diet that I've been able to adhere to.
Well, I could imagine during those times, I mean, in the 70s and early and the 80s, wherein I'm sure there was not as many information like we have now, and also the choices I could imagine back then compared to now, because we have so many choices right now. But imagine those times. Well, that must be challenging times for you, but I'm glad that you were able to weather that and then continue. You know, I'm sure it was a challenge for you to find those alternative gluten-free food, for example, because it wasn't probably
Yeah, it was a huge challenge for me growing up. There was only one food manufacturer in Canada. I grew up in Toronto. There was only one manufacturer of gluten-free foods. This was before the internet, so my parents did not have access to online recipes and all the resources and information. In fact, my mother was a co-founder of the first Toronto chapter for the Canadian Celiac Association. So I'm part of the history that was made here in Canada, so to speak.
Wow. Whoa. Well, that was beautiful. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are thankful, and we are grateful for you for being going through all of this and but doing something about it, you know. And I'm glad that your mother was there too. I could totally imagine during that time when, oh wow, this there must be a lot of challenge. And for our listeners out there, especially with this condition, what would you tell them? What would be the first steps that they need to take, especially if they are going through diagnosis for the medical community? They haven't been diagnosed, they're struggling on what is it causing this? I have this gut problems, I have this chronic stomach problems, but it's not, the doctors don't know what it is, and they are not sure if this food related or not. What would you tell them that they can take action on today?
Well, my advice for anyone who needs to follow a gluten-free diet, whether it be for celiac disease or non-celiac gluten sensitivity, whatever the reason may be, I think my first piece of advice would be to be patient with yourself. It is a huge learning curve whenever you're transitioning to any new special diet. It can be extremely overwhelming. So I grew up in a time that was the opposite of what we're living in now, which is the information age. There was a lack of products on the market. There was a lack of information. There was a lack of support. And now today, it's all plentiful, but it's also overwhelming. So I would suggest that people give themselves time to, take their time, learn a little bit each day, but break it down into bite-sized pieces. So start off by learning about what the diet includes. So the types of foods that you are allowed to eat on the diet and the types of foods you need to stay away from, including those containing hidden sources of gluten. Secondly, I'd say it would be extremely beneficial for folks to join a local nonprofit organization. So for example, if you have celiac disease or gluten intolerance, there's the gluten intolerance group. There's in Canada, like I mentioned before, the Canadian Celiac Association. And in the US, there's the Celiac Sprue Association. They will send you lots of information, which again, take it in bite-sized pieces. Start with what's most important and work your way down through the learning curve. But what those types of organizations offer that's so really fabulous is the support. So support groups, events that you can go to, where you can meet other people embarking on the same diet. So the emotional support piece is really important. And the thing is, today, so many people have food allergies and intolerance. If you open up about your own special dietary needs with those around you, family, friends, neighbors, you will find there are people already in your life with probably the same dietary needs as you, and you'll be surprised to find that out. And the third, my third piece of advice would be to learn as much as possible. Again, take your time. You don't need to learn everything overnight, but it's important to learn about cross-contamination so that you can eat safely at home and out of the home. So that's a very important topic today, is cross-contamination. And there are so many ways that we can, you know, get cross-contact of gluten in our food, and we need to learn how to avoid that.
Wow, great tips there that you just shared for our listeners, especially who are suffering from this condition or from this gut problems or like that. I'm really big on what you said about educating yourself, but do it in bite size, because there's a lot of information out there and there's a danger of being overwhelmed because it's too much information and we don't know what to do first, which one to. So it's really important to pace yourself, but really learn as much as you can and be interested about it, because that's the only way to that you can be empowered in following this diet that it would benefit you. And like what you've said, what Lisa just shared, you know, the support groups are really important. I'm really big on that. Join these organizations, join these associations that Lisa just mentioned, and then you'll find support there. That you will meet people that have experience or that are in the same situation as you, and it will be a lot easier for you to deal with it or to find all of this information and all of this alternative food, for example, that you can have, because there's a great resource by joining this organizations. And on that note, Lisa, for our listeners' sake, what are the biggest challenges that you see among people with the same condition as you have that they fit right now, and what are those that you can share with our listeners so that they can, if in case they have these challenges, they will know how to overcome them?
Yes. So a major challenge with celiac disease in particular is the fact that it can affect virtually any system of the body. So it can affect your bones. It can affect your skin. It can affect any system. And what's been found in the research about celiac disease is less than 80% of people who are diagnosed with the disease make a full and complete recovery. So that is leading to, that's begging the question, is the gluten-free diet enough? So a lot of people with celiac disease are doing more than following a gluten-free diet. They're looking at, for example, the paleo diet. They're looking at a grain-free diet. There are other things that we need when we have celiac disease, such as additional supplementation. There are certain vitamin and mineral deficiencies that continue on even after going gluten-free. So I think right now that's a major challenge with the disease, is finding out how our bodies can make a better and full recovery once we identify that we have the disease. And it's even a challenge with myself.
Right. So the gluten-free and also the grain-free, which is the among the tenets of the paleo diet, I've heard a lot from our listeners and from other experts out there that once you are, the celiac disease really benefit from not only going gluten-free or grain-free, but also following the paleo diet. What is your take on that?
Well, so there is also a disease. There's celiac disease, and then there is refractory celiac disease. So refractory celiac is when celiacs, those who have been diagnosed, are really having a lot of continued problems. They're not showing the progress that we would expect once they go on the gluten-free diet. So individuals who are not making that progress and then receive a diagnosis of refractory celiac disease are recommended to go grain-free. So it really, it's still a very gray area. It's an area that needs a lot more research because there are so many people with celiac that are not making that full recovery being gluten-free alone. So we really need more research into this this big problem that we have in the community, whereby we're not recovering and we're experiencing a lot of health issues and problems over the course of our lifetime, in spite of the fact that we're gluten-free. So I do believe that being gluten-free is not necessarily enough.
Right. And even for us with not diagnosed with celiac disease, I mean, for me, that was a challenge for me. And that's what I found out, that I'm a lactose intolerant ever since. But when I took grain out of my diet, wow, I mean, the bloatedness that I used to have, I mean, I was really amazed. So I'm really big on going grain free, even though, even if you don't have celiac disease, even especially if you have celiac disease. And like what Lisa said, there's a lot of research or education being done out there and about this, trial and error probably, to make sure that it is beneficial. But for me, I mean, going grain free was really huge. And if I could just tell somebody, if someone asks me what's the first thing that you have to take out from your diet, that will be grain. So really big on that. So thank you for sharing. Now, I know you were successful with following the gluten-free diet. I mean, getting your symptoms out of controlled. But what were those other benefits that you see, other benefits or transformations that you see, not only for yourself, but maybe from your clients, that you can share our listeners so that they can see for themselves what is it that they're looking forward to in terms of following the gluten-free diet?
Well, first, I'd like to mention that when following a gluten-free diet, there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. So going gluten-free, a lot of people think they can go out and buy replacement products, so a gluten-free cookie or cake or pastry, and replace it with, you know, the products they ate prior that were made from wheat, and that's a healthier option. It's not necessarily the case, because you're then replacing carbohydrates with carbohydrates. And as you've been mentioning, going grain-free has made you feel so great. And I hear this from people all the time, that changing their diet and eliminating grains makes them feel better. I think our bodies have trouble digesting and processing grains for many of us. And so if we're going to go gluten-free or grain-free, we need to be aware of the fact that, you know, if you're eating junk, it's still junk. If you're replacing one carb with another, you're still taking in simple carbohydrates, which are going to turn into glucose and turn into body fat. So if you want to do the gluten-free diet the healthy way, you want to avoid all of those products on the market that are loaded with simple carbs, sugar, fat, salt, additives, preservatives. A lot of the products are GMO. You know, they're made with GMO corn, GMO soy. So you really want to avoid the packaged, processed foods and stick with whole food, one ingredient foods that you make yourself that are wholesome, nutritious. Stick to a lot of fruits and vegetables, healthy proteins, healthy fats. So in a nutshell, you know, that's just an example of how you can either do gluten-free right or you can do gluten-free wrong.
Totally agree with you. And yes, it's interesting that you mentioned that, Amanda, because I got a lot of questions from our listeners on, okay, I want to make this great cookie, the great dessert. I mean, so my advice, I mean, my take on that is, okay, it's okay to maybe indulge once in a while. Okay, they are gluten-free. Yes, they are gluten-free, but they are still made of sugar. We're still using sugar on all of this dessert. So treat, maybe for our listeners, if you, for me, I don't recommend you going indulging on this on a frequent basis. Maybe once in a while to treat yourself, because that's still sugar, whether that be coming from a natural alternative or not processed sugar, for example. That's still sugar. And we're trying to go a little less sugar from our body, because we know that sugar causes inflammation in our body. So treat yourself not on a frequent basis, but as a reward, maybe once in a while, you know yourself how, but it's not like a daily thing. And not because they are gluten-free, you feel like it is okay, because it's not really okay. And I'm because I got a lot of these questions on, well, they are gluten-free, so I should be able to take them on a daily basis. I said, well, yes, they are gluten-free, but then they are still with some sugar on it. And even fruits have sugar on it. So I would rather have that, take it on a not so frequent basis, and it's not to replace those junk like what Lisa said, you know, they are still carbohydrates, they're still loaded with sugar. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. And yes,
absolutely. And in fact, a lot of gluten-free products on the market have extra sugar in them to make them taste better, so you're getting even more sugar than you would from a non-gluten-free product in many cases.
Yes, and I think there's a lot that we can do for our community out there to really educate them, because a lot of them feel that, okay, it's gluten, it says gluten-free, so it's okay to munch on them constantly. And yes, no, it will do a disservice to your body by doing that.
All right. Absolutely.
Now share with us what's next in your life as a gluten-free advocate that excites you the most. What is it that you are currently working at, and what's one big benefit that our listeners can get with your product or service, and where they can get it?
So one thing that I really love to do is to help adults and children who are new to the gluten-free diet or other special diets, to help them transition to and manage their special diet, whether it be diabetes-friendly, paleo, whatever it might be. So I'm very passionate about doing that. I really enjoy it. And I co-authored a guide called Gluten-Free Beginnings Easy Starter Guide with TV chef Kathy Smart. And we purposely made the book a very short read, so that people who are feeling overwhelmed can get the most important information when they're transitioning to the gluten-free diet. And learn, the most important information without feeling very overwhelmed. So that's something that I'm very passionate about, and also continuing to work with glutenfreefine.com.
Okay, so that's the Gluten-Free Beginnings?
Yes.
The book that you've co-authored with, okay. And
yes,
then they
it's
can
called Gluten-Free Beginnings Easy Starter Guide.
Easy Starter Guide. Definitely going to have this as our resource. And where can they get it? Is it available on Amazon or on your website?
It's available at www.glutenfreesmartstore.com.
All right. So it's Gluten-Free Smart
Store.
Store. Okay. .com. Okay, so for our listeners out there, especially if you are just beginning and want great information or resource there, is pick up the book Gluten-Free Beginnings, the Easy Starter Guide, and you can get them at glutenfreesmartstore.com. And is it linked from your website also, the glutenfreefine.com?
It will be.
It will be. Okay. So at the moment, for our listeners out there, the book is available at glutenfreesmartstore.com. And I'll make sure to have this on our show notes. Now, Lisa, I know you have a lot of resources out there and this book as well. But what would be if there is a tool or if there is something that our listeners can learn from right now? Direct them to get this resource about the gluten-free, and not only the gluten-free, but the paleo diet as well. especially for those that are beginners, what would you recommend them to read, not only your book, but other resources that you might find helpful for them?
Yes, so I recommend that people look at the book Wheat Belly, which has a lot of information about why we need to eliminate wheat and other grains from our diet, whether we have celiac disease or not. There are some really strong and powerful arguments made in that book. And Dr. William Davis, the author of that book, also has written a Wheat Belly cookbook, which the recipes in that book are gluten-free, grain-free, and paleo-friendly. So that's also a wonderful, wonderful cookbook, as well as Kathy Smart's Live the Smart Way gluten-free cookbook. Those are some wonderful, wonderful resources that people should take a look at.
All right, so that's The Wheat Belly by Dr. Williams. Yes, this is William Davis. I have this book and also the cookbook, because you're right, it's grain-free, gluten-free, and the paleo diet recipes out there. And the other one is the Live the what was the other one? Live the Smart Way.
Live the Smart Way.
Live the Smart Way cookbook.
Gluten-free cookbook. All and right. Most of the recipes in that cookbook are also grain-free. Mm-hmm. And in both of those cookbooks that we've just mentioned, none of the recipes contain any refined sugar.
Oh, wow. What a great great resource. I'm definitely going to check that one out. So that's the Live the Smart Way gluten-free cookbook. The Wheat Belly,
that's
of
right.
course.
By Kathy Smart.
All right. So great resources that you've just shared. So that's the Gluten-Free Beginnings Easy Starter Guide by Lisa and Kathy. The other one is The Wheat Belly by Dr. William Davis. And the third one is the Live the Smart Way Gluten-Free Cookbook by Kathy. I'm going to have this on our show notes. So thank you for sharing those. And by the way, for our listeners out there, all of these resources and the links that are mentioned in today's podcast will be made available in a beautiful infographic show notes at transitioningtopaleo.com/Lisa Cantier, or just type in her name on the search bar and it will find it for you. And also to learn more about Lisa, I highly recommend you to check her website. It's the gluten-free find. So that's gluten-freefind.com. There's a lot of resources out there. There's a whole bunch of directories and resources that you can tap into, especially for our listeners who have this condition or who are gluten sensitive. I highly recommend that you check her website and sign up for her newsletter so you will be notified about what she's putting out there. And all of the books, especially the Gluten-Free Beginnings, the starter guide that her and Kathy co-authored, I highly recommend that you pick up that book. It's a great resource that we all can learn from. So for our listeners out there, all of these resources and the books and the tools that Lisa just shared with us, I'm going to have them on our show notes as well. Any parting words, Lisa, for our listeners out there that are on this gluten-free or paleo diet journey?
You are not alone. When I was growing up, I was 1 in 4,000 with celiac disease. Today, the statistic is more than 1 in 88, whether you have, well, that's for celiac disease. And for those who have non-celiac gluten sensitivity, the numbers are exploding. There's so much great information out there. There are so many wonderful cookbooks and recipes. So although you may feel overwhelmed by needing to transition to this new special diet, know that there is so much out there that will help you, to guide you on your new journey. And at the end of the day, it's actually a healthier way to live. So it is a blessing in disguise.
Wow, golden nuggets in what you've just shared. And yes, you are right. For our listeners out there, especially if you have this condition, know that you are not alone. I mean, and also there's a lot of information out there that you can tap into and a supportive community that are supporting each other. So that's great. I'm glad that you shared that one, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners who are in this journey, you know, sometimes feel like that they, you know, they're challenged and they are sad. Okay, they are challenged and frustrated probably because of all of the symptoms that they're experiencing that are not going away. So glad that you shared that one. Well, Lisa, thank you so much. And I really appreciate you being so generous in sharing your time and your inspiring story, you know, for being a role model to many and for bringing such a positive energy with our listeners out there, the Paleo fans and our gluten-free community out there, I'm sure, including me, appreciate you and wish you more success in your life and in your business.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure. Thank you.
Did you know that there is a hormone in your body that turns your belly into a magnet for ugly fat? It literally turns the food you eat into embarrassing, pant-stretching, stubborn belly fat, even the foods you think are healthy. Discover a simple test that reveals if the belly fat hormone is sabotaging your fat loss and learn the easy and natural ways to shut down this hormone for good so you can have the flat stomach you deserve. Go to eatmoreburnmoresystem.com to learn more.
Thanks for listening to Transitioning to Paleo Made Easy. Now it's time to get your quick and easy step-by-step guide to transitioning to the paleo diet. This beautiful free download includes the three most important things that you need to be focusing on in order to make the transition as smooth as possible. Ready to get started? Head over to transitioningtopaleo.com right now and begin your journey. And we'll see you next time.